This morning I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. I read to you the last two verses. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am weak, meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. This morning we are thinking of the yoke of Christ for invited sinners. The yoke of Christ for invited sinners. And obey. Yeah, Matthew in Sempano, chapter 11, verse 29 to 30. Now, yeah, and somewhere Christ on you nua e wo homa adboyenfo a wato nsa afre won Christ on konua e wo homa adboyenfo wato nsa afre won no say mo fa me konua nto mo suna mo nsua me na me hojo me san so wo brasie na monya ahomegie de ama mo kra he said me konua ayemre na me asudie nso emu ye ha we na Jesus Christ all ka eche onwa why wasre wafre won so one brand in chain on for one born in chain. So in our text, the Lord just gives a command to all invited sinners who will come to him as their savior. And as we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the savior of the world. He came for the purpose of salvation. He came to suffer shame and punishment and even to the death of the cross so that sinners like you and I might have salvation and also have acceptance with God, to have a place with God, so that we can approach him as his holy, just, and righteous God. But the fact is that even some in the days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ misunderstood what it meant to believe and also to follow Jesus Christ. Here can I say, and the Christ is by we are said, I don't see a menu me and say I had a boy of boy, yes, you go to me in young quite year, in your bonifacture, yes, you to me, I could write in chain. Yes, we mean young coupon, your concord, chin, and eh, to me for it, meaning no abaya barco. And so, in brain pun or was I see sooner, and if I be brain, or Montia, say, Fasay, Miss Ombedius, Miss Wady, no making it, you know, na NCP. I'm sure we all remember Judas. Judas followed the Lord Jesus Christ, but he did not learn of him. He was so greedy, selfish, careless, sinner, and unbeliever, even to his death. Yes. He followed Jesus Christ. He was among his disciples and he was even an apostle. The can say, Mr. Manifa brave, it didn't a no more. Auntie has said, Judas, cry, no dinity. Judas, no, the excuse to it. When to me and Sunday, if you excuse, when to me answer some basic messages, excuse to not, you know. Not that so any brave for, a hope for, a hope any, the Bohemia, on funny bonnet home. And oye anje di ni kopembra owuye bi se mesmo fast owuye and dey see me as Judas na on Jesus Christ only it's not kind of sure form. So it's a great thing to consider what Jesus Christ tells us when he invites us to come. We should only look at what the Bible directs us alone. Say Jesus Christ say e friend say Brian say say the Bible no kwa ka me say papa so abana interpret yeah fa kwa fro bia so a yeah, into me and who said it. And I said, yeah, I'm fire who am I the Okanoa. Yes, you're beating the cheat, he said Judas. And then, if you know who we are. There were also others also who believed in him temporarily. After when they realized that to follow Jesus Christ includes abandoning their sins and also traditions of men, opinions of people, and things that take our minds from the Lord, they also stopped following him. So there were mass of Jews who were following him, who even said that they have believed in him. Remember, at in John chapter 8, or 6, the Lord Jesus Christ said that many people believed on him, but he did not give himself to them because he knew the heart of men. Bible said, "If I bring also and then so his Christ one find the one more, only the only coming. He only knows that if we have believed or not. So it is something which is very serious. So, and these two instances, if you look at Judas's case and those of the general people, some of the people who also follow Jesus Christ wrongly, we have those, these two instances and many others, is the same today. Today, what do we see? Many people want to associate with the church, but not to sincerely surrender to Jesus Christ, their heart, their life, to his teachings, his life, his teachings, and his examples. Nipa ebre said they make nipa eku to Judas ne ebi mo na mo suji ni di ya yesi o man jine ndi ye no ye hwesa nyoma nipa ku menu ye husa asui e wo yembre nso nipa ebre na ne on be say oh ye husa o mo pa sorry o mo ya sorry ko for o mo ye Kristo for because o mo pa sorry enso ne kura mo pa say o mo di o mo be ma ye Kristo ene ne church re ene ne hwesu o no ene ye dabi. You point to such people that the Lord Jesus Christ demands self-denial for all his followers. So that in that self-denial, a personal comfort sometimes has to be given up. In that self-denial, we may have to look at only the things that Christ sells, which sometimes goes against our own worldly activities and everything. But such people who just want to associate with the church and have a Christian name, they will listen to you with a deaf ear. You can say, a bit more, and then so, I'm so, I'm going to go, sorry, if it's only a home pass, sorry, if it's so far. And so, I saw any team on our ears, Christo, no, I'm not in the way, where am I? See, I ended in Nongi and Kano. I want to go, I'm going to go, I'm going to go, and then just one of our Bible, Davi. Who said, Bimu say, oh, yes, Christo, or share, or be us, or be a banning chance, on phone, home. No, on bad nature. Say, open who I say, we need to be any new be here or be grand or say, be other two in China, bad nature. Tell you probably Obama or Betty, who are as a so crowd with you because they don't want to. They just want to have the Christian name. They just want to be called Christians. But you know, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior. So that if you want to associate with him, then we have to come by his terms. Yes, Christ, only I don't want to. Only a sovereignty. In the end, meaning I say, we can answer no by saying, right, only the end, only in Kita Hujibia. So it's something that we have to really consider for ourselves. But the words of Jesus Christ in our text tells us that believing in him comes with obligation to be rendered to him. Yes, Christ, okay, that take my yoke upon you tells us there's a responsibility for everyone who wants to come after him. It's not just a just come and follow me. There's a rule. There are rules. There are things to embrace. There are things to hold to before we can follow him. Take my yoke upon you. It comes with obligation. So no one can be a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ unless he's willing to submit entirely to his ways. If we are not willing to submit to whatever Christ tells us, his word teaches us, the word of God teaches us, then we can never follow him because he teaches us. And his teachings and examples are found in his word. Let's also remember that the first before verse 29, it says that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That verse, he has invited sinners to come for relief. All those who are striving with sin and are depressed because of the guilt of sin in their consciences, because they are not able to obey God's law to the full, and yet they want to have God as their God, and they are still struggling because, you know, imperfect obedience to God's law doesn't make anybody acceptable before God. It does not relieve the sinner from his sins. It does not give anyone peace to the soul. You can believe, you can obey whatever the Bible has said, but because there is sin in our hearts, we always do something wrong in the commandment. And in doing that, we cannot be able to be right with God. We always have guilt in us, so we can never have that peace that Jesus Christ promises. But then, he promises peace to those who listen to what he's saying and come to him. So that in all our imperfection to obedience to God's law, his righteousness will counsel them for us. He will give us strength to be able to be loved, to be strive to obey more. But then, what he's saying is that they should come for relief. And in coming for relief, he asked verse 29, take my yoke upon you. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And then he said, take my yoke upon you. So you see, you see how some preachers are doing today. They will, quote unquote, preach something about Jesus Christ. And after they will tell people, say this after me, I'm a sinner, I'm this and this and that, and the people will say, they say, oh yeah, you are believing Jesus Christ, you are saved. That's not what Jesus Christ is telling us here. This so-called pastor are not pointing people that Christ demands everything from us. He demands total surrender. It's not just hearing about him as a savior and say, okay, I have believed. I've also recited. No. He demands total surrender to him. So you see, they tell people Christ is the savior. Oh, he will forgive your sin. But they don't tell them the other. So what they preach is not the complete gospel. The gospel, Christ, these are the words of Christ. Take my yoke upon you. There's an obligation in that taking. There's something we have to look at. Says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, as our subject this morning, Christ's yoke for invited sinners. So, we are going to look at a yoke. I mean, it's used often to greatly in the Bible to denote anything that keeps one under submission or restraint. A yoke in the Bible, that is what it is used. And even sometimes it is picked from the way that instrument they use to connect to cows when they are plowing on the farm, so that it keeps them concentrated, keep them in their work. But here, when it is used here, it's a figure of submission and restraint. The yoke, so a yoke becomes a burden to the one who bears it. For any responsibility, put a burden on the one who takes it. The can say Christo. Or Fred the boy for some umbra, Nansuno, or some fun in Kunya. Let me cast it. Remember, no, you hear radio, Sunday television, some couple of oh, where can't be a fire crystal? My fair, we are not catching it here for us. Oh, can we image the boy in numbers of fire crystal? The panic come here, the boy made boy in the Matthias crystal, Sam, with the more manner. Okay, we are not supposed to what did you say? Do I don't go? And I'm saying, and yes, son about boy catch rain. This crystal no ash rain, sir. See a begging head, you know, at the Arisha at the bias. And when I'm saying, science and come forward, you know, there's faith in Christ, which we have to, the mind has to give into him, but we have to give all our life to him. And that's where he tells us this. So say that, take my yoke upon you. This term, I learned that it's a common term among the Jewish doctors who be the law, the Old Testament. They have a saying like this: a man must first take upon him the yoke of the kingdom of God, and after that take upon him the yoke of the commandment. So when Christ said this word, the Jewish people knew what he was trying to say. So by this they mean that to become the Lord, you are taking up a responsibility. So let me quote, he said, a man must first take upon him the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, and after that take upon him the yoke of the commandment. So even the Old Testament, they know that to become the lost people, there's a responsibility on me, and that responsibility is spelled out in his word, which I must what? Know. So, the yoke the Lord Jesus Christ speaks here is faith in him, and the obedience that faith in him requires. So, according to Jesus Christ, I can't say, hey, Jedia, open your own, and I'll sweep the ass, Jedia, no, Edeba. Because we don't just believe in Jesus Christ, it comes with responsibility, and we cannot just believe on him and wait and just abandon it. No, he will not do that. We believe, he saves us, and we are by that we are willing to give ourselves to him. If we are not willing, he will never even save us. First of all, Christ never saves anyone who is never willing to bear his the duties that comes with it. So you see, we will see. What this yoke is, and how Christ himself helps us to bear it. It's not just a burden that he allows us to bear it alone. So they can say, Christo in Kunmi and Sanet, Christo, any one studia DHRA. This is what the gospel teaches. The gospel is not just that Christ have come to die for needy sinners. It's just that Christ have come to die for needy sinners who are willing to abandon their sin, their life, and commit their ask for forgiveness from him and commit all their lives to him. It's not that Christ will save us from our sins and we live our life for ourselves. No. It's a total surrender to him. Remember, there's a hymn, unto Jesus, all to Jesus I surrender. That's what that hymn tells us. To surrender all. But what are we hearing nowadays? You know, just listening to, just believe that Jesus will have died for you and that is, and live how you please. No! That's what the Bible tells us. Okay, so, Jesus instructs and directs invited sinners, saying, take my yoke upon you. So the first thought is that we shall think first of Christ's yoke for righteousness. And the first thing is the yoke of submission. Yeah, Christo ni kunya or there to a mad one for a ban in chain or yeah Brasilian kunya and the kind. You know that naturally we are all proud of ourselves. Everyone believes that it's not totally bad. Even the so-called greatness, they feel that they still have some good things in them. And often we try to offset our badness by doing some good. That's what we often do. Okay, I think I've not done things right. I want to do some good so that at least, I'll clear up my badness. And people take this attitude before God. I think doing some good deeds will cancel their badness. That's what they do. So they think that, I've lived a life of sin, but I'll begin to obey God somehow, and God will try to forgive me. No. But the gospel of Christ tells us that in James chapter 2, verse 10, that for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Bible, yes, Christian, in the same channel, actually, always, I use this example. Adam only disobeyed God once, but he disobeyed all the laws of God. Sometimes people think that, Adam just disobeyed God once. But according to the Bible, this one disobedience means you have to disobey all the commandments of God. So you cannot undo what you have done by doing several things. But that's what we think. But the gospel tells us a different thing altogether. It tells us that we have no good before God. That we cannot claim any good before God because none of us can claim that we have never done any bad. So if we have ever done any bad thing or if we have ever sinned, then let us cancel any good thing we have ever done to claim as pleasing God. So, na me see agidi say obi enwo beka say onye boneda ndi eni say boneda dia ndi eye ya gwin fisa agense meye papa yakopo di mbone a chemi enye bible asempra bible nchesa si yintumi enye papa emfa mpepa ye bone. So nobody can claim any good from God. Thousands of our good deeds recorded can never cancel our lies, our envy, our hatred, selfishness, boasting, lust, insult, greed. Thousands of good deeds will not cancel even one of these. That's what the Bible is telling us. Also, our religiosity, if it is not from a sense of our unworthiness and need for mercy through Jesus Christ, it's nothing. Say, you see, if you so far, you say, Nasir, no, if you say, you know, you see, and say, Bibia. Ne mom yes Christ mo bro hu se dia boni be chen ne nyago pon e baako se ndina sa ho ya ende yesu mo ye Christ osu me nya papa se nya ho ne nida so wo enya ho ne bibia sa so bia even your 1% of against so your papa kra bo ma yago pon dia we have nothing before God. God don't accept us. God, the Bible tells us we have sinned before, so everything done by us without Christ is not accepted. God will not accept such things. It's in vain. And yet, the proud and the self-righteous and I will not accept this. Oh no, you think that I'm totally bad? I'm not totally bad. You think that, no. We have some good, there are good people in the world. Somebody will tell you. So such a person, he or she will not submit to, with his proud mind, to what the Bible is telling us. That we can never claim any good before God. Do you remember the parable of the Pharisee and the publican in Luke chapter 18? Do you know how they came to God? The Pharisee was a religious man, and he thought he has paid his tithe, he obeyed the laws, and he's religious. So he's coming to tell God what he has done, so God will bless him. But this publican, as they know, the publican, a deceiver, a fraud, and he has cheated and all that. He came back and he stood afar off and smote his breast and said that, God have mercy upon me, I'm a sinner. The Bible tells that these two people went home. The publican who accepted himself as a sinner was accepted, was pardoned. But the publican, the Pharisee, was rejected. Yeah, he was a religious man. He seemed public, normally he will not cheat somebody. He will do all that so-called religion requires of. But his heart, there's pride. Oh Lord, I have done this. I have done that. I have done that. I have helped the poor. I have done that. No, that's what God is requiring from us. So you see, the first thing that the Bible tells us what? The yoke of submission. But it is hard for the self-righteous person. Nipa ojin hu di say opa pe bi no. So be brand hu ase e wo de ya Jesus Christ ni sem pa ka chen say ye ni hwe de mo mi dia tu e bi bi atwe ne so ono nkwan tu ne ye mu no. So the yoke of submission is hard for the self-righteous. Sincere repentance humbles the sinner to lay down all rebellion against God, and also every high opinion of himself. Say, you can't I've been sacra in a prayer room, and money I was sacra in a prayer room, and two, I've been via a putty and hook on or talking. Or the funny name said, Rade, Medina and Yadi Papa. No one else makes for whom said, or any pepper or someone or to the action when you're hooking him. The person depends on the yes, you've got your summer, but you're buying a cup anymore. Or to the action, now, or buy him, and only a friend says, yeah, I sacra agree. Sincere repentance humbles us. It brings us to realize that we are nothing before God. And that is where religion begins. So Jesus said, come to him by taking this yoke that humbles. Take my yoke upon you that humbles, so that he may exalt you to a better life, to a life with God. That's what he's telling us. Come and take this yoke, humble yourself and come. Throw away all the good things you think you can claim, because before God you cannot claim anything. And take this yoke of humility, accepting that I'm nothing before God. And what? He'll take you to a better life. He'll give you a spiritual life. He'll give forgiveness. He'll make you become part of God's children. And that's what? A promise of eternal glory. But if our hearts rise and say, oh no, we still have some good that we must claim from God. The Bible says, God says we have nothing to claim from him. All our good deeds are nothing. All that we can do is, we can never give us anything. So my question to you before I move on is that, have you taken this yoke of submission to throw away all your rebellion, to throw away all your opinions of yourself, and everything that stands against God, have you thrown them away? And have you come to embrace this direction that Christ is giving us, that you should take his yoke, this yoke of submission? Have you submitted to Christ? Are you willing to give up every ideas, every good thing you claim for yourself, and then submit to what Christ tells us? To come in this state, like the sinner, like the publican who came. He knew himself as a sinner. He never came to claim one piece of good from God. He came just as he was, only asking for mercy. That's what God wants. And this is where the yoke of Christ begins, the yoke of submission. To submit to what Christ says, and give up everything, and come to take his forgiveness. The next thing that the yoke of Christ tells us is the yoke of restraint. Not only are we to submit to what, to him, but his yoke put a restraint on us. Taking the yoke of Christ restrains us. Every sinner feels that he's free to live as he pleases. And generally, that's what we think. We are free to live as we please. The sinner, his choices, ambitions, pleasures, hopes are all for self. We all live for ourselves until we find Christ and know what God's purpose for us in this life. We all live for ourselves. At least we think of Adam. At least our major purpose is for ourselves. Our everything is me and me. But then, just Christ tells us in Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Self that I love, self that is the highest thing for me in this life, Christ said, what? I should deny it. That means that I should not be my first when I come to meet him. He should be first. My and my thing should be second. And are we willing to restrain ourselves to this? Because self-denial puts a restriction to a follower of Christ. Christ said, deny yourself. If you come after me, let him deny himself. Because self-denial puts a restraint. It puts a restriction on the follower of Christ. It sets constraints as to how the person must live in this world. Coming to Christ and submitting to him, taking his yoke, put a restriction to me how I should live my life in this world. It tells me to deny myself the pleasures and gains of this world if it comes in competition with obeying God. That's self-denial. Anything that comes in competition in obedience to God's word, that is, and I give up to God's way, and then I submit, I make mine to be subservient. That is self-denial. So that I don't put my choices and my pleasures first, but then I put the things of God first. So that self-denial put a restraint on me, so that I cannot do what I want. It tells the sinner coming not to seek his own happiness as his topmost goal in this world. In this world, is that not what all so-called motivational messages and whatever they tell us? Oh, do that thing that will make you happy. That is the most important thing. They think that that will cure stress and depression. It's a lie. It's not what makes you happy that will cure depression. If you know your Bible well, having faith in God and a trust in His word, and giving yourself to Him, and knowing that your sins are forgiven you, and resting your hopes on the promises, there's nothing that can cure oppression, depression, than these things. To know that Christ has died for me, and I don't live for myself, but I live for Him, so that I'm not anxious about anything. Those who have depression, anxiety. But having your life in Christ relieves me from all these kinds of things. And yet, the cure for depression and stress in the world is, oh, do the thing that will make you happy. Take time for yourself and enjoy. It's never true. It's never true. So you see, that's what Christ is telling us, so that to deny ourselves, our happiness must not be our topmost goal in this world. It's not opposite of what the world tells us. It's opposite. You see? But we must be willing to renounce all earthly things if required for Him. And also, even our family and friends, if they come as a hindrance to our obedience to Christ, we have to deny ourselves with our relationship with them. You know what Christ said? That He came to bring confusion. Mothers and children, fathers, that's what it means. Because He alone must be obeyed. He's God. God must be obeyed. If my family, they are all against me, and I'm obeying God, and it's not that sometimes people also think that they're obeying God, and because they just want to be hard on people. No, that's not what we are talking about. If it is true that I'm obeying God and people are against me, that is it. Real commitment to God. So, it tells us to abandon all those. So, to become a genuine Christian, you must be willing to forgo your will and come under Christ's will. That's what it means. Not my will. I'm sure we have met this verse in the Bible several times. Not my will, but thy will be done. Christ Himself, when He was on earth as our mediator, He said that, He told the Father, not my will, but thine. Even when He was going to die, and He said that He should take God should take the burden from Him. But I said, not my will, if it is your will, let it be done. And that is what we learn of Him. Not my will, but His will. You see? So we must be willing to forgo our wills. So this is a yoke Christ demands all inviters to take up, if they will know His salvation. So it's many people saying that they have believed in Christ, but until you have given ourselves to Him, Christ will never say our salvation is not true. We have to bear this yoke that His will will be our paramount thing. And in coming to Him, I throw away everything, my will, my everything I throw away and embrace it. Because mine cannot really help me to begin the spiritual life. I mean, coming to Christ is the beginning of a spiritual life. And how can you come to spiritual life with your own will? You will fail. The strength of the arm of the flesh will fail us. The Bible tells us. Spiritual life needs a spiritual beginning. And it comes when we take Christ you. And God, He is going to direct us how we are going to live this life. So again, before I continue, have you taken this yoke also? Yoke of restraint. Knowing that coming to Christ, I'm not on my own. I am submitting everything. I'm laying under His feet. You know, I often hear some of this contemporary Christian music, and it's, oh, I lay my life under His feet, and I surrender all. And most people sing this song, they have not even committed their life to Him. They are not surrendering their life to Him. Their pleasures, their ambitions in the world are not for the Bible. I mean, sometimes contrary against, it's against the Bible. It goes against the Bible. They don't care that how they are living their life, please God. But they will sing that song, I lay my life for Him, I surrender everything. No. It must be a reality. It's not just saying it. And the Bible now directs us. So, have you also taken this yoke of God? Are you willing to take this yoke, or have you taken it already? So that not your will in everything, but His will. Okay, so I move to my second thought. My second thought is that why Jesus imposes His yoke on invited sinners. Because somebody will say, already a sinner is distressed. He's burdened with his sin. He's not able to bear the load of his sin. And yet Christ says, take another burden. Double burden. But you know, He's wiser than us. He knows why He tells us. Because He tells us in the verse that His burden is light. And also, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He compares his yoke to the yoke that the sinner is bearing. That if a sinner comes to him, he will take the sinner's burden, and then he will give his yoke. His yoke is light to bear. And we see what it is. He says that I learn of people are meek and lowly in heart. Look at what he put there. The yoke he's putting on us will make us be like him. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart. Meek and lowly in heart. And this is the captain of our salvation. He's not willful, he's not proud, he's not a careless person. He says what? He himself is meek and lowly in heart. And I'm coming to this Jesus who is meek and lowly in heart. Then, and I'm coming to follow him. I want to learn of him. Then I have to throw away all my pride and rebellion. So he imposes his yoke because without taking Christ's yoke, a sinner can never learn of him. That's the first thing. He imposed this yoke for us because without taking the yoke, no sinner can learn of Christ. Because that we should take the yoke and learn of him. So that if we follow him without taking his yoke, we can never learn. His teachings will not be delightful to us. His words, his examples, we wouldn't take it. See? So we take his yoke and we learn of him. So without first submitting to Christ, well, and denying ourselves, we can never learn of him. Following Christ will be an inconvenience for us if we have not taken up his yoke. Because there are many shortcut Christians. They are willing to be Christian, but they don't want to bear the burden of Christianity. They are willing to follow Christ, but they don't want to bear the burden of following Christ. So, meaning that they are not willing to learn. And if we don't learn of Christ, how can we become his followers? You see, that is what it is. For instance, let me ask you, why do people wake up every day and rise to work? At dawn, you wake up and you are going to work. It's because they have contracted with their employer that they are going to work from Monday to Friday. And if they are late, sometimes they will be deducted from their salary. Some companies do. And if they don't give a proper reason, they absent themselves, it will be taken from their salaries. Because they have found themselves to the company to work for a period of time so that they take a salary. So, they are willing to do that. It is so. Unless we bind ourselves to Christ by this yoke, we will never make his things our priority. That is what it means. The yoke of your employment is upon you. And you, until you have stopped the work, that is what you do. So also, Samson says, Christo mponnua yamfa nsan yekon a ye nya pɛ sɛ ne nyoma bɛyɛ nyoma ehia yɛ nyimere bre ne nyoma bɛyɛ de ehia yɛ because na ade sua nsu no. If Christ's yoke is on us, we will not like his commandment. You see, many people are not really able to become genuine Christians because they are not bearing Christ's yoke. They don't see any bear, they are not bound to him in any way. They have not forgone, they have not lost anything in following him. You see, as we say, he himself said that loses his life will gain it. If I lose my happiness in this world by following him, I will gain eternal happiness. That's what it means. So following Christ is not just to make me, following Christ has happiness, and it's beyond, the happiness the world will call up, even in this life. The heart is happy. We may not, enjoy the foolish entertainment of the world, but we are the most happier people. Our hearts, we are not anxious about anything. We are calm in life situations. And we wake up early in the morning, we pray, we commit our lives to God, we read his word, we move about our business, as anybody does. But we are not anxious about anything if we trust in him. But what do the world do? They are anxious about everything. Everything. And the Christian, even death, is not afraid of. If we are genuine Christians, not to alarm us. Because our Father is the God of the world. He owns the world. And nothing, we've got, when we wake up in the morning, everything about us is in our Father's hand. He knows what will happen to us. So if anything happens to me, he has allowed it. And it is his will, because I've committed my life and will to him. That is how a Christian lives. And this is what when we embrace the yoke of Christ, this is how our minds are renewed and our hearts are turned into by the word of God to embrace this thing and to live by it. And that is a Christian life. The world, the unbeliever doesn't have this thing. Or the nominal Christian doesn't have this because he doesn't really believe in these things. So he always wants to find shortcuts. Okay. So Christ imposes this so that we can learn of him. The next thing also that Christ imposes this yoke because he provides the strength to bear. As I said earlier, Christo Master Anconi, if you say, around a man who didn't have it to be astral, isn't that interesting? That's why he was comparing his yoke to the yoke, I mean, the sinner is calling, they're already burdened with their sin. But he gives another yoke, which he himself helps to bear, which doesn't bring any sorrow. All the yoke that the sinner is bearing brings sorrow. You see, but Christ one doesn't. So you see, the Bible tells us, and it is true, that every sinner will never genuinely repent and forgo his sins if left alone. Each one of us who are already saved, we can testify, if God did not really help us, we wouldn't have forgo our sins, we would still be in our sinful state. We wouldn't have believed in him. He has to put us in situations and make us realize that we cannot do without him. And then we cry after him to save us. Every saved person, if left to himself alone, he will never come to Christ, because there's always something in the world that our sinful heart makes us bound to, that we can never break away from. But when the sinner cries to Christ because of his inability, when the sinner sees that I cannot really bear my sins, and he cries to God, and he cries to Christ, and then the Lord Jesus Christ comes with a mind to support and to rescue. So salvation is what? A rescue mission. He gives the strength so that even for me to repent, I cannot totally repent. When I cry to him about my sins, then he sends grace that I'm able to see sin as it is and run away from it. And he takes me in. So salvation means also a rescue. So the Lord rescues us when we cry to him because we are in a state that we realize we cannot do anything about it. Then he provides the strength. So repentance is not the work of the sinner alone. Is that the strength Christ gives, and the sinner holds to that strength to repent. Nobody can genuinely repent. It's our work, but then we can never do it in our own strength. God, through his Spirit, must work in our hearts, must first give us the strength, then we are able to rise up. That's why the picture of the sinner in Ephesians chapter 2 says that ye who were dead in trespasses and sins. So the state of a sinner before repentance and faith in Christ is seen as a dead person. He cannot rise up himself. But the Lord gives grace. And then he rises up. And now I want to follow God. No matter what. I want to give up my life of sin. Whatever that I so love, I put them away. This is what we are talking about. So the yoke, the Lord Jesus himself gives the strength. The Lord Jesus Christ himself told us that, for without me, you can do nothing. To believers and sinners that are coming to him. Even when we are saved, without him, we can never continue a life of, obedience to God. Each and every day, we draw strength from him, and he helps us to do. And when he said, without me, he can do nothing, he meant anything that is spiritually good. He's not talking of doing business to make profit, or having a healthy body. No, he's talking about spiritual good, not activities, I can do business. No, without me, you can do nothing. It's not about worldly things, but spiritual things. Without me, you can never pray aright. Without me, you can never repent aright. Without me, you can never even understand God aright. He gives the light, illumination, enlightenment in the mind to know that the word of God that we are listening is sure. He gives that understanding. So without him, we can do nothing that is spiritually good. You see? So everything depends on the burden, the yoke of Christ. He gives the strength to bear. If only we are willing, he gives the strength. He doesn't. That is why he said it's light and easy. It's easy in this sense because he gives the strength. A sinner cannot think a good thought, speak a good word, and do good deeds before God without Christ. Yes, in the world we may call people some good, they do things right, but not so before God. A sinner before God can, because there's some sin somewhere covering all that he has done. So the sinner can never begin nor perfect that which is begun, which is good. From the beginning of our salvation to the end, it's all of Christ. So taking up this yoke and bearing it to live the Christian life, the strength comes from him. So you see, his burden is easy. His yoke is easy and it's light because he gives the burden. He gives the strength. So also we think of this, he imposes this yoke because if a sinner is sincere, he can bear it. Not only does he give the strength, if we are sincere sinners, we can bear this yoke of submission to him, restrained, and also come to him with full strength. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, says the Lord Jesus Christ. You let's consider all the sorrows of a life of sin, all the immoralities and rebellions in the world. What does it bring to the people? Burden, sicknesses, troubles, anxieties. That's the yoke of the world, the yoke of a sinner. And also even the burden of life that are, the burden of a life that are not being so quote unquote a sinful life. Look at the trouble in the world. Even those that think that maybe fashion, entertainment, and possession will make them happy. Look at the burden they put themselves. That they will go up and down everywhere to be able to be entertained and be enjoy the things of life. The burden of such life. In general, the burden of life in general. It's miserable. It's difficult. It's miserable. And all these burdens, whether it's a burden of sin or just normal life burdens, it oppresses. And it renders us miserable. That also, life burdens makes us miserable. Children making their parents become pained. Parents causing discomfort to children in some way or the other. And they, I mean, our friends disappointing. So many things in the world. It what oppresses us and makes us miserable. But Jesus' command leads us, his command to take up his yoke leads us to freedom from sin. Bearing Christ's burden gives us freedom from sin, its defilement, and punishment. So that when we take up Christ's yoke, there's a freedom from sin. Our burden of sin and troubles of life, he holds it. He forgives our sins. So that anxiety, the guilt is taken away. And even the effect of sin on our lives, he helps us to overcome. All our sinful life we have lived. If Christ did not take the burden, the guilt from it, we cannot live a happy Christian life. But when we ask him, he takes the guilt because he has taken it away. So that the Christian, though he has sinned before, he's not afraid to live again because Christ himself has made him to realize that the guilt, the defilement have been taken from him. And also the punishment of sin to come, he's free from. So it's taking the burden of Christ brings these blessings to us. In 1 John 5, we are told that his commandments are not grievous, are not miserable. I mean, it does not make us miserable. But before we come to Christ, we sometimes think of, that's what the Bible says, that, okay, I have to stop this and that. Oh, how can I be a happy person in the world? Oh, how can I stop doing this and that and be happy? Oh, then become a great... So is it this yoke is a great burden to the sinner who wants to continue a life of sin. It's to a sinner who has not really realized the burden of his own sin and wants to continue a life of sin. But the one who has realized that sin is really the main thing that he has to deal with. Oh, he runs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he obeys this, that, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He threw away. He comes to Christ with all his burden. And Christ takes his burden and he gives him his. The yoke of Christ is easy and light to the one who is sincere, to the one who is really willing to abandon himself and come to him. So my final thought is, the blessing Jesus' yoke brings. And you shall find rest to your soul. What a promise. All the burdens of life, what does it give us? As I said, misery. All the things of this life, all the troubles that we face, it's misery. Even whatever we get from it cannot counterbalance the troubles that comes to us with it. But to repent of sin and believe in Jesus for pardon brings peace into the soul. Why? When we repent of our sin and believe in Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary's cross by dying for us, we are reconciled to God. God whose our sins are before, whose wrath is what the Bible tells us, God's wrath is against every sinner. It's on every sinner. This God, this mighty just God, he becomes our friend. He becomes our father. He becomes the one that we can call our father. It's not wonderful. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, so that when we hear the name of God, we are not troubled of our sin. When we hear the name of God, we are willing to hear more of him and adore and praise him with a sincere heart because he has nothing against us. He's not our judge who will judge us at the end of the world. He's our God, our Savior, who has come to take us to himself into our eternal home. to accept Jesus' yoke and surrender your heart and mind to him brings your desires and ambitions under his control. Our ambitions and desires, so all that we do in the world comes under his control, so that we can do that we will, so that we do his will, so that we are blessed. That's another thing. Our soul desires are insatiable. I'm sure we all know. We are always desiring and willing to pursue something new and fresh. We do one thing small, we are tired or we are not interested. We want to pursue fresh things. Our soul's desires are insatiable. We chase after everything that promises profit or happiness. Adibia, we ask him, and most of the times, in our state of sin, we are careless of the dangers of such pursuit. Whatever promises happiness or profit, we don't think of the dangers because we think of the profit or the happiness, and we chase after. But if you take Jesus' yoke and learn of him, you have a sure and wise guide in every situation in life to guide you in every pursuit, so that you before you pursue anything in life, you know the dangers. You become a wise person in this world. You might be the most neglected person, but you'll be the wise person in the world because whatever pursuit in life, the dangers, you are aware. And by the word of God, you know the limits, you know the rules and everything. Whether it's business, whether it's personal life, and sometimes people say that the Bible doesn't have much to tell us about business. It has so much to tell us. There are so much principles to tell us about how we will order our life to be, when we deal with people. And it's only when we learn of Christ and we are willing to submit, then he will teach us. He will let us be wise concerning these things, so that you have a sure and a wise guide in every person. Is it marriage life? Is it employment? Is it family life? What is it? Church, spiritual matters? He has a guide for us, and he will lead us. The troubles of life are many, but Jesus is a sure refuge and friend. Am I lying? The troubles of living from, the child has the troubles of life, but Jesus is a sure refuge and friend. Why is he a sure refuge? When we cry to him in times of trouble, he comes to our aid, to comfort us or to save us from it. He's a friend where each and every day we talk to him. When nobody is willing to listen to us, when nobody wants to even have company with us, he's there. If we can talk to him, and it's where he will comfort our heart. What a life of joy. In the storms of life, we have him there. He's the refuge for the soul. When our souls rest in him, we are sure, have a sure rest. We have nothing to fear. Nothing will alarm us, and our life become a better in this world. So my question to you before I finish, have you come to him in this way? Have you come to him in this way, thinking of what he wants us to take, and how it is, its easiness and lightness, and also the promise that we find rest for our souls. Have we come to him this way? If we have come to him this way, we'll find this rest. It's a sure. Millions have bought testimony to this. And every believer here can bear testimony to this. And if you have not, if you come in this way, you also come and bear the testimony that you have really found a rest for your soul. That you are now willing to live for God. But before I close, I only tell you that if you have not come, you also should come. Because that's the purpose of it, dying on the cross of Calvary. To purchase for us eternal salvation. To purchase for us eternal life. But you must first come and take of him. And believe on him. And give ourselves to him. Then he will be our sure refuge and guide. He will be the one who provides rest for our souls. And we shall live even in this world a happy life. Beyond what the world for happiness. And in the life to come, we'll have a better place among God's people. So may the Lord help us as we think of the yoke of Christ for all invited sinners. And may he help us to think more of it and make sure that we have really taken up his yoke and the blessings will follow to us.